So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EASCarpenters.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American First energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show Special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J. Doc and Krause.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show here on the Jacob Media Network. We've got a fantastic broadcast. We are in the home stretch of the presidential election, and there is so much on the line. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Jet Thompson, President and CEO of the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers. Jet, welcome to the show.
J-Doc, thanks for having me back. You're right, we're in the home stretch.
We are in the home stretch, and I know you guys are incredibly busy there, and we really appreciate your time. Having said that, if you would just remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and the AFPM and who you represent.
Sure. Well, Chet Thompson, I'm the president and CEO of AFPM. AFPM, we proudly represent the downstream segment of the energy, liquid fuels. So we represent U.S. refiners, basically the folks that take the crude oil and turn it into the stuff that we use every day, and the petrochemical manufacturers. that take natural gas liquids and turn it into all the base petrochemicals. And of course, we also, JEDEC, represent all the infrastructure, getting crude to our refineries and product to consumers. So if you think downstream energy, what keeps the cars and the trucks and the planes moving, that's us.
And so having said that, since the last time you were on the program, okay, you know, a lot has happened. The biggest change, obviously, is President Biden is no longer running for re-election. However, many of the same issues are at the forefront. Okay, one issue we've talked about, and we've been relentless about it over the last couple years, is the government bans on the new gas cars and the mandates for electric vehicles. Okay, so these policies are being pursued in, you know, to different degrees by the state of California, okay, and the federal government. Okay, one thing I think is so important, okay, and the consequences, because you're talking to a middle of the road Democrat, okay, who has always been a labor Democrat and has, you know, literally, you know, and I'm not saying towed the line, but let's just for this purpose to say I've towed the line when it came to voting, you know, in presidential elections. But I've learned a lot about what's going on. OK, we talk about common sense and energy, and it just spun my head. These electric vehicle mandates, OK, a lot of people still don't understand what they are. OK, you talk about gas car bans and all those things. Let's talk about real quick, a little recap on what an EV mandate is. Okay, and a little bit about the consequences so that people don't think we're talking about that we're against electric vehicles, which neither one of us are. If you would jump on that.
Sure. Well, and you're right. We're certainly not opposed to electric vehicles. They're great technology. They work great for a lot of families. And if they meet your needs, you know, we encourage people to go buy and have fun and all that. But, sure, you know, back to your common sense, these policies are dramatic. They're going to change the way people can live and drive. And, you know, JEDEC, a lot of times when we describe what's happening, people don't believe us, but it's real. And so there are two policies out. Earlier this year, the Biden-Harris EPA adopted the most stringent, most expensive regulation in the history of that organization, maybe in the history of the country, whereby they have effectively banned, leading up from now all the way up to 2032, where it takes full effect, banning the ability for most people to buy new gas or diesel power cars and trucks. And on top of that, California, you alluded to it, JDoc, that they have on the books now an outright ban, 100%, 2035. If you want to buy a gas or diesel power car, you won't. And right now, this administration is sitting on a decision that would authorize 12, 13 other states to follow California, which would equate to 40% of the new car market. JDoc, I know not too many things for certain, but I know this for certain. EPA knows how unpopular that's going to be, and they're sitting on that decision until after the election. But all in all, what's going to happen right now, unless something changes in a few short years, the overwhelming majority of cars will have to be electric in this country. And that's unfortunate because it just electric cars, we're not ready for them. They don't meet everyone's budgets and travel needs. It's happening, and we need for people to get involved in order for this to change.
And when we talk about the EPA's standards, the tailpipe emission standard, okay, theoretically, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, it's not a EV mandate or a gas car mandate, gas fueled vehicle mandate. But you can't actually, you'd never be able to meet those standards unless you had an EV mandate. Okay. And so, so they're in a sense, it's a backdoor way of doing it. And when you think about it, and this happens a lot with energy policy, people aren't up in arms about it because they can't translate what it means. Okay. When we've talked about it in the past, obviously issues with the grid. Okay. You know, people, you know, our leadership is jumping up and down. Okay. You know, the people who are handling those situations are up and down screaming, we are not going to be able to handle what's going on. We already have issues with the grid. It takes the choice out of the public's hands, which, by the way, I can handle. Okay. if there were 85 other issues, if it was just going to be about the environment and everything was going to close in. But that's one issue. OK, we don't like we said, we don't have the projected infrastructure. OK, so many things, by the way, the costs of the vehicles. OK, the jobs that are going to be lost. I mean, we could go. OK, and we talk about, you know, all the issues. OK, yeah. Unaffordable, $60,000 per car. I'm talking to the people, Chet, because and the automakers losing thousands of dollars on every EV they make. OK, and of course, this is a big one for me. The China owns the majority of the supply chain. OK, which really confuses the hell out of me. OK, because you better be able to organize in China. OK, because we're voluntarily giving up our automotive industry. OK, whatever's left. And of course, the critical minerals for the EV batteries being mined in the Congo and all those things using the child labor, which is not even an exaggeration. I mean, are these what I'm talking about? Are these consistent?
Yeah, listen, Jeddak, we've been talking about this issue for a long time, and I struggle to find any reason to be supportive of these policies. As you point out, these policies are bad for consumers. They're going to make things more expensive. Jeddak, even by EPA's own calculation, this regulation is going to cost in the neighborhood of $850 billion with a B over the next 30 years. It's going to make cars unaffordable for most Americans, at least the cars that today people want to drive and buy. It's going to require us or force us as a country to trade our energy security right now, right? We are energy secure in this country through the production, through the refining, through what we get from crude from north, from our friends in Canada. We're going to trade all that away for dependence on China. They own 80% of the mineral refining market that we need for batteries. It makes absolutely no sense. Let me refer to the grid. The grid can't handle this. And so I struggle to find any reason to do this other than the far left, who has just demanded this policy because it makes no sense. And what we see across the country, J-Doc, people of all political stripes, this is overwhelmingly unpopular. It's with Republicans, Democrats, independent. I talk to people all over this country. And again, first, I have to convince them that I'm not making this up. And then they're just, most of them are flabbergasted that this is something that we're trying to do as a country right now. And we're doing it largely under the cover of darkness. Not, very few people know about it. In fact, in Virginia, when they passed their legislation to join California, the legislature actually passed a measure that prohibited public notice and comment around this. Why, do you ask? You know the answer, because they know it's not popular, and so they don't want to talk about it. They just want to, frankly, force this upon Americans.
So having said that, okay, and I say this, when you know, this is not a union issue. This is, should not be a Democrat or Republican issue. This is a human issue. And people, and the reason you and I are talking about this right now, okay, obviously there's a lot of carryover. Okay. In other words, a lot of this is on the line. Okay. With, you know, obviously President Biden's not running. But that doesn't mean a lot of these issues aren't popular with the, you know, with the Democratic initiative, the far left Democratic initiative, because so many Democrats that I know, once you talk about this, the first thing they say is it just can't be done. Okay. But having said that, Let's get into some of the nuts and bolts here. Okay, so obviously, these issues. Okay, that we're talking about. We talked about California, the California rule, but also federal issues. Let's talk about the federal policies first. Can you remind our listeners and our viewers what policies have been finalized by the current administration? And then within the context of the election. Okay, can you let us know where, you know, both sides are, where they stand on the EV mandate issue when it comes to vehicle choice and why this is even a question?
Well, you know, following up on what I said earlier, you know, so the EPA in March finalized these quote unquote tailpipe standards. They adopted a fleet-wide standard of 85 grams of carbon per mile. Okay. What that means is effectively it will ban the ability for automakers to sell new gas cars. Today on the road, there are zero gas cars. There are zero traditional hybrid cars that meet this standard. Okay. EPA set this standard knowing this, JDOC. And so what does that do? It forces automakers to sell electric vehicles. By EPA's own projection, in 2035, 71% of all new cars will be electric in some form. Okay. So that's what's happening. That's what's at stake. As far as where the candidates stand, I'll start with the easy one. Former President Trump has made it abundantly clear where he stands on this. This is no matter where he talks to around the country, and he'll do this for the next couple of weeks, he's made it very clear that he's not in support of these mandates and ICE bans. He's not opposed to electric vehicles. You know, and you can tell that by the fact that his new best friend is seems to be Elon Musk. And so, you know, that it's not an anti-EV thing, but I think they all recognize, and I suspect Elon Musk recognizes, that we're not ready to mandate what kind of cars people drive. He's made it clear. He said, including on the stage at the RNC, that on day one, they would take steps to reverse this. When you get to Vice President Harris, it's far more ambiguous. And I use that somewhat loosely. Let me just tell you what the history has demonstrated. She has, throughout her entire career, been opposed she has supported, let me put it that way, EV mandates. She's always been that way. When she was in the Senate, she sponsored legislation to require first a 50% EV mandate by 2030 and 100% EV mandate by 2035. It was her legislation. She put it together. She sponsored it. That's 100% clear. And then when she ran for the first time, her campaign made it clear that she was even more aggressive. She supported 100% EV mandate. Now, recently, they have recognized this is not very popular. Started off, JDOC, her campaign, try to roll it back a little bit by saying we were spreading misinformation, not accurate, not true. And then a couple weeks ago in Flint, Michigan, for the first time, what she said, listen to it very carefully, she said she's not going to tell consumers what kind of car they have to drive. Now, she didn't say she was going to reverse these EPA regulations. She said she's not going to tell people what kind of car they need to drive. And I suspect that's enough wiggle room for her to get through this issue over the next couple of weeks, but not to back away from the EV standard. That's where they are right now.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's interesting because it's the Labor and Energy Show, and President Biden has been fantastic to labor and in so many different ways. But this is a confusing issue, to say the least. Okay, because so many union jobs are on the way. It's actually done a lot. You know, there's so many union jobs on the line. Okay, it's actually caused a lot of, you know, strife in labor community, because a lot of us work at the refinery. So it's caused really an unprecedented situation. I have noticed, obviously, that the vice president has backed off on the Marcellus Shale. You talk about the fracking and all those things, where it was no fracking, and there's a lot more wiggle room right now. So that's why we say, you know, that, you know, it's incredibly confusing. Let's move on a little bit, Chet. Okay, so if you're paying attention to the swing states, it's pretty evident that this issue is having an impact there. Obviously, EV mandates are getting a lot of it airtime in Michigan, and in particular. Okay, as you can imagine, can you tell us what's going on in Michigan, and obviously why this, you know, this issue is resonating so strongly, although it doesn't take a rocket scientist.
I like the easy questions, JDOC. So, yeah, I mean, Michiganders, they care a lot about this issue for obvious reasons. They're, auto manufacturing is what they're known for. It's what they do. People in Michigan love their cars. People in Michigan, just like other parts of the country, most parts of the country, Jack, are not happy with these policies. Somewhere in the mid 60%, 63%, 64%, 65% of those in Michigan oppose these policies. They've made it clear that it's going to be very important to them on how they vote in the next couple of weeks. And they've also said something really interesting that the VP Harris administration should take into account. And that is 50% of them have said that, you know, they're concerned about where she stands on this issue and it could affect how they vote. This is just critically important. And so what we've seen is some backtracking in Michigan. That's what I alluded to. VP Harris gave a speech in which she said that she's not going to tell people what cars to drive. They're going to be required to drive. Representative Slotkin, she's now running ads saying she doesn't support these EV mandates, although she voted against the measure that would have required EPA to back off these regulations just a couple weeks ago. It's a hot issue. It's going to be a centerpiece of what's going to be talked about for the next 2 weeks for sure.
You think that a lot of the what's going on with the education, things that we're doing, things across the country, we talk about educating the general public, okay? And this is I still think if I walked up the street and asked 25 of my neighbors, okay, what's an EV, okay? 25 of them will give me the correct answer. But then if you throw the word mandate on there, I'd say the overwhelming majority would still not understand it. I wonder if we're getting through to some of the politicians. We talk about the polling, okay, you know, how we've had done many shows here where polls have, once people get educated on the electric vehicle mandate, they're clearly not for it. Okay. And I'm wondering if our political leaders are starting to, you know, I mean, are getting that picture and understand. And the reason I say that is not just for election purposes. Okay. But because they know it's coming, but in reality, in other words, at what point are they going to start saying, and pushing back on the far left and saying, by the way, you know, this is not, it's not only not popular, it's not possible. And where is common sense coming in? By the way, Chet, your members, you employ how many union workers? I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot, but thousands and thousands, correct?
Thousands. And we have a great working relationship with our, you know, union members, and we're in it together, and we're out there trying to support our industry, which, you know, listen, the U.S. refining industry is so critical to our country. It has helped us prosper. It helps us. I mean, look, it fuels our whole economy. And so we're not out there bashing EVs, to remind your listeners. I mean, this is about sound energy policies and, you know, not forcing us into this foot fault, this, you know, unnecessary, you know, efforts to damage our industry. This makes no sense. I mean, we can have EVs. We need them to grow organically and not try to force them. Right, last year, 8% of new cars were electric, and they're going to try to force it so it's virtually all in 8 years. JDOC, it makes no sense.
What people don't understand is that legislation's happening right now.
Okay? Yeah.
So by the time, people realize what happened, and the bottom has already dropped out.
Yeah.
Infrastructure issues. Right now, if you're driving an EV, try to find yourself a charging station. Okay. If you have a long trip, your whole trip is going to be, even if it's not a long trip. Okay. And by the way, that's okay. It's early in the game, but we're talking about, 92% of our vehicles up in it. Like you mentioned, over 70%. So you're talking 62%, by 2035. It's like swimming down to the bottom of the ocean and not giving yourself enough air to get back to the top. It's ridiculous. Let's spit fire.
No, and by the way, the one number that I should just make clear, only about 18% of likely voters say they support this issue. 18%. And as far as your question before, are we getting our voice out? Look, in certain places we are, JDOC. As you know, I was on your show about a year ago, and we identified that most people had no idea. And so we've been at it for the last year. We've been focusing in on swing states, mostly because that's where the attention has been, trying to educate folks. So in places like Michigan, some of the other swing states, they're starting to get it because, frankly, we're pounding away at it. But I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon, even past this election, when people start to, when they go to the auto dealerships and they're going to start seeing less cars of what they're looking for, when they start seeing the sticker prices go up, there's going to be a reckoning unless these policies are changed.
So, Chad, it's interesting you mentioned that. So with the Labor and Energy Alliance and what we're going to be doing, okay, and what you guys did not long ago was the Midwest rally to save our jobs, don't ban our cars. You've done a fantastic job on educating the public. We're going to start an e-rally campaign where on a monthly, where we're going to do massive Zooms, educate, where we can bring thousands of people in, okay, to educate them from all over the country on these issues, okay, and engage all the members of our alliance and across the country so we can hit as many people as we possibly can. And in a sense, we're just taking a note from what the AFPM is doing, okay, and educating people, going out there, doing rallies, and doing it, you know, the right way, educating people. Let's do this. Okay. We only have a couple minutes left. You know, we talk about the specific policies from the EPA, okay, and from California. They often use terms, you often use terms like ban and mandate. A lot of folks take issue with that. Mm-hmm. I guess that's out of the bag, right? They say you're misrepresenting these policies and that the EPA has simply set aggressive emission standards, okay, but really hasn't banned mandating anything. We call that a backdoor way of trying to mandate, you know, energy policy. Will you talk to the audience, you know, through these policies and explain why you describe them the way you do?
Well, listen, Jade, I think if you talk to any average person and you explain what is going on, everybody recognizes it for what it is. It's a ban. EPA is too smart to actually use that three-letter word, but they know what they're doing. They're setting standards so stringent that no gas car can meet it, right? And so when you look at EPA's regulations that, again, by their own estimate, is a 71% EVs in order for the auto companies to comply, throw that on to California, which is going to be 40% of the new car market, which is 0% ability to buy a gas car. To the average person, that's a ban. And so when someone walks onto a dealership in Virginia or California and they say, I want to buy X and X gas car, when the dealer says there aren't any, and they say, because we can't sell them, that's a ban. And I will tell you what, you know, they, you know, some policymakers complain about misinformation and people not being accurate. For them to say this is not a ban is just too cute by half. They know it is a ban. It's the same thing that they did with the light bulb, where they said, we didn't ban incandescent light bulbs. We just set standards so stringent that they can't meet them. Go to a drugstore and try to buy an incandescent light bulb. They're banned. And so this is a ban. We've been called every name in the book, JDoc. And, you know, all we're trying to do is educate people what actually happened. In some parts of the country, would it be 100% ban? No, it won't be 100% ban, because a lot of rich people will be able to pay whatever it takes to buy the car. But if you're an average worker and the price of a gas car is twice as much as it used to be, well, to you, to that person, it's a ban. And we're going to keep calling it for what it is. And we're going to let the facts speak for themselves.
Chet, well said. Before we go, okay, how can people, okay, so now that these EPA, that new vehicle standards have been finalized, what can Americans do? Well, we only got a minute to reverse the policy, obviously, yeah, and including workers, you know, let us know what.
Here's what I would say, JDoc. There's two things your viewers can do. One, they can go to don'tbanourcars.com. You can get more information about what we're talking about. The other thing is, listen, there is a way for this to be reversed through the Congressional Review Act. The House passed it a few weeks ago, which, by the way, they passed it, and guess only 8 Democrats supported the reversal. 8 Democrats supported it. But the Senate's going to have a crack at this. So the thing that your viewers can do is to reach out to their senators and express concern about this. So when the Senate has an opportunity to do something to slow this rule down, they'll have reason to act. And they're only going to do it if they hear from constituents.
Chet Thompson, President, CEO of the AFPM, we really appreciate your time, sir. We know you're really busy and obviously we're committed to educating the public and getting the word out. Thanks so much, sir.
Hey, Jaddock, let me thank you. You've been a great partner in this. You've been getting information out to people that need it. We really, really thank you for everything that you do, and we look forward to working with you well into the future.
As do we, sir. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EASCarpenters.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
Tom Lee Hackey has become part of my morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind us, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
And he says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond Lahaki Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, business manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters, and the United Steelworkers.
All right, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. Fantastic first segment with Chet Thompson. We've got a fantastic broadcast. This is our pre-election broadcast. So much going on in our country right now. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Jim Appleton, president of New Jersey Car. That's New Jersey Coalition of Automotive Retailers. Jim, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
It's my pleasure. No question about it. And look, it's, obviously we have a couple of days till our presidential election. So much, to talk about. Unfortunately, we got 20 minutes, and so let's get right to it. If you would, Jim, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and New Jersey Car and who your members are.
Sure. NJ Car is the New Jersey Coalition of Automotive Retailers. We're the statewide trade association that represents all the franchised new car and truck dealers. So that's all the familiar brands, the Fords, the General Motors, the Toyotas, the Hondas. It's a $43 billion a year industry here in the state of New Jersey alone. It employs 37,000 men and women in good paying local jobs, many of them union jobs here in the state of New Jersey, jobs that can't be outsourced. They can't be shipped overseas. You know, these are Main Street businesses that are serving their community day in and day out.
Absolutely. And having said that, okay, you know, there's what we talked about, obviously, this show. Okay, if you would talk about some of the primary issues at the forefront of this Tuesday's election for your members
that are at the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's the big issue in the industry right now is the big issue in this election, which is electrification of the transportation system. This is going to happen at a number of different levels. Everything from working vehicles in the ports are going to be mandated to be electrified, to over-the-road trucks, to last-mile trucks, to your personal motor vehicle, the car you drive, mass transit as well. There's an all-out push at both the state and federal level to transform the motor vehicle and transportation system from a fossil fuel based system to an electrified system. Whether that's fossil fuel based generated electricity or not is to be determined, I suppose. But that's sort of the push and the challenges, as I said, both at the state and federal level.
And so, we've talked about this. Not the first time you've been on the program. We've discussed this issue countless times, okay? Because it impacts so many people, okay, and jobs and our country, our energy. One thing we always say, and Jim, you've said it many times as well, we are for EVs. There's nobody sitting here saying, we don't want EVs to come into the market, electric vehicles. But we've talked about it many times. Let them come into the market naturally. Don't force them on us in unnecessary ways. And so if you would, a little tutorial, which is hard for you and I'm sure to even comprehend, that people still don't understand what an EV mandate is. You mentioned the word mandate in your conversation. What does that mean?
Well, we've got two different sets of regulations. Actually, there's several regulations, but they fall into two buckets. You've got the federal plan, the EPA and National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, NHTSA, mandated tailpipe emissions and performance mandates. This is under the Biden administration. There is a very vigorous set of regulations, which, while they give the automakers flexibility somewhat on how to meet these tailpipe emission standards, what the automakers are telling us is that there's no way they can get to where the EPA is pushing them without a significant percentage. By 2030, 65% of all vehicles that they distribute in the U.S. would have to be battery electrics. Contrast that with the state mandates, and New Jersey is one of 15 states that operates under what are known as the California Air Resources Board Plan, or Section 177 of the Federal Clean Air Act. We're operating under the California rules, which are actually even more stringent than the Biden administration. So,
well, it's interesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. So under the California rules, this year, New Jersey was supposed to have sold 23.5% of the vehicles in this 500,000 vehicle per year market. We were supposed to sell 23.5%. We sold 12. Next year, that mandate jumps up to 35%. We'll be lucky if we get to 15. The year after that, it goes to 43%. We'll be lucky if we get to 20 by then. Well, and the downside for consumers in this plan is, as the mandated number of EVs rises up, the availability of high demand internal combustion engine vehicles will go down. And of course, the laws of supply and demand tell us if you want to buy an internal combustion engine vehicle next year or any of the next few years from now, you're going to pay more, substantially more, for that vehicle. We're heading into a situation where, whether it's the federal mandates or the state mandates, consumers are going to have limited choice and they're going to face higher prices.
And so when you talk about that, OK, the people understand exactly what you're talking about. I mean, do you think the general public, we all understand what electric vehicles are, and we've all talked, you and I have talked, that we've talked about it on this program many times. Nobody's saying we don't want electronic vehicles. These mandates, you mentioned, first of all, ask, does the general public as a whole still understand this?
No, I don't think they do. What they know is that they go to a car dealership and the vehicle they want to replace the vehicle they're in costs a lot more. And the monthly payment is going to be much higher. They don't understand why. And even worse, Joe, I think, I hate to say is I don't think the legislators understand.
Certainly pollsters have asked tons of people. And once they realize what is actually going on, because there's so much, advertising and promotions, all kinds of shows about EVs. Awesome. Excited about it. My brother's got one. We have our own issues with the mining of the critical minerals over in the Congo. So there's a ton of other things going on. But you mentioned two. But when pollsters ask people if they're in favor of the actual mandates, once they explain them, okay, people are not. But let's take it a step farther. You mentioned the statewide and federal. Let's look at the federal for a second. Chet Thompson talked about a gas car ban, and he gets punched in the mouth, obviously from the media for doing so. But it reminds me a little bit of the setback rules here in Pennsylvania, where it's not really they're not really banning cars. A gas car, you just can't meet the standards. So the emission standards for the tailpipe with the EPA, tailpipe emission standard, are so rigorous that it's literally impossible to build the car. So it's not a mandate. You just can't. Car that can meet the standard.
I think it's a de facto mandate. You can say, well, I point to the language in the regulation that says you have to build an electric car. Well, it doesn't say that. It says you have to meet certain standards. That's on the federal rule, though. But remember, on the state side, there are specific marketplace mandates, percentages that have to be met, and if they're not met, automakers pay fines, substantial fines, or they have to buy absolution. They have to buy credits. And guess where they're buying their credits? Tesla, because Tesla is the only company that has credits to sell. So last year, competing automakers in the CARB, or California Air Resources Board, states like New Jersey, paid over $1.5 billion to Tesla. That is, Tesla took in $1.5 billion in subsidies from competing automakers based on the California rules.
Well, let's talk about the California rules, okay? You would recently in an article, okay, obviously the issue with the California environmental rules are at the forefront. In a recent article in the Detroit News October 7th, you commented, "The auto market in New Jersey is not regulated by the federal government. It's regulated by the California Air Resources Board. Our policies in New Jersey are set in Sacramento." Talk about that, because people listening to this, okay, who aren't familiar with that, we've talked about it a lot, must be freaked out by that, okay? Yeah. Address that, because on a statewide level, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, it is remarkable that, 15 years ago, New Jersey opted into what is known as the California Clean Air Rules. Without getting too wonky on you, the Federal Clean Air Act, it passed in the 70s, gave California the right to set their own tailpipe emission standards, because California had already begun to grapple with a serious smog problem. And the political decision in Washington was, let's not take this out of California's hands. California's a unique use case. Let them set their own rules. But under Section 177 of the Federal Clean Air Act, they said, and any other state that wants to sign on to the California plan can do so. Well, during the McGreevy administration here in New Jersey, legislation was passed over our objection that brought us into the California clean car rules. At the time, those rules were more, let's call aspirational, and there really wasn't a whole lot of on the ground impact. Over the last couple years, and more urgently over the last several months, as the what are known as the Advanced Clean Car 2 rules that California adopted have kicked in New Jersey, now people are starting to realize that these rules aren't aspirational. They have real world consequences for the car market here in New Jersey. It's a and unfortunately, you know, we have a governor for another 15 months who has, you know, publicly said he wants New Jersey to be the California of the East Coast. So he's not backing off of the California clean car rules. And the legislature seems disinclined at this point in time to pull the rug out from under what he considers to be one of his marquee initiatives.
So what are the percentages, okay, as far as, you know, when you talk about the actual mandates or benchmarks and dates where New Jersey is going to be required to be selling a specific amount of these?
Well, it's here and now. I mean, the truth is that we've been a CARB state for 15 years. And the current CARB mandate in 2024 is to sell 23.5% of all the vehicles delivered for sale into the state must be battery electrics. And if they're not, then the automakers who do business here have to pay penalties or they have to buy credits in the open market. As I said, they've been buying credits from Tesla and they've been able to garner credits and pool credits from qualified vehicle sales in other states. But it's 23.5% today. We're barely halfway there. Next year, it goes to 35%. The year after that, it goes to 43%. Then it goes to 65%. Then it goes to 100% by 2035.
If you would talk about the infrastructure, okay? Talk about the, are we even set up? Okay, because Jersey, you know, we're in Philly. So, you know, we're, you know, right there. What about the infrastructure, the charging stations? Okay, they're throwing these mandates on us and these percentages. Yeah. Okay.
It's, you know, the biggest pushback we're getting in the legislature, the most deeply concerned members of our legislature are those who represent urban areas, you know, progressive Democrats, pro environment. But they say, hey, this isn't going to work in Newark or Patterson or Camden. You know, we don't have the charging infrastructure. I happen to drive an electric vehicle. I have for the last 5 years. I love it. I'll never drive anything else. I love the performance, but I'm lucky enough to live in a home with a private garage. I plug in every night. I leave the house every day with 300 miles of charge. You know, I don't have to worry about public charging, but when I do, you know, in plain English, it's a show. You know, I've driven from Albany to Trenton. I had to stop at five different charging locations to find one that was either working or available. And you know, that is just not viable for most people in their daily commute, in the way they need their vehicle to get to and from jobs reliably. They can't be worried about where am I going to find a place to charge. This is an example of you know, government, you know, fire ready aim. You know, everybody wants to get to the same place, which is a zero transportation network. But you need to have the preconditions put in place, and neither the utilities nor the electric vehicle charging station companies have, you know, gotten to a place where consumers are going to be comfortable relying on an electric vehicle for their everyday ride.
Which is amazing with the percentages that they're requiring and the fines, okay, the credits that you, and not to mention you're buying them from Elon Musk. It sounds, I mean, to say it's a conflict of interest is almost laughable. But we don't have much time, and so I want to, you know, I'm going to spitfire a little bit here. Talk about what your members are thinking. I mean, you mentioned in a recent article, you know, New Jersey auto dealers, they want to sell electric vehicles, but they also want to sell what consumers want. Okay, mm-hmm. and of course we've talked about hybrids. There's a ton of things that are out there. Talk about what your members are saying.
Yeah, I mean, so what my members tell me is thousands of people come into the dealership looking to buy an electric car because their kids tell them, the newspapers tell them, their neighbors tell them this is what they should do. It's the right thing to do. And they really give it serious consideration. But when they look at the price, even with the incentives that are being offered on these vehicles, and they look at the return on that investment, and then they look at the available charging infrastructure and their lifestyle, they drive away in a plug-in hybrid. And the plug-in hybrid is a great solution for most consumers. But it doesn't enjoy the credit. It doesn't garner credits under the California plan. And so manufacturers are essentially disincentivized to send those vehicles into New Jersey because they've got to sell the pure battery electrics. You know, this is a case of, you know, making perfect the enemy of good.
You said that. I was literally just thinking about that. Yeah. You mentioned it before. It's a great point.
Yeah. So look, the plug-in hybrid is a great solution for just about anybody. Most people are going to drive a plug-in hybrid 80% of the time in zero emission mode. It's only on the long trip, you know, the weekend trip to the mountains or to the beach, where you're going to, you know, flip over to, you know, gas engine use. But, you know, if we could get everybody in a plug-in hybrid, or, you know, significant number of consumers in a plug-in hybrid, and they're driving 80% of the time in zero emission mode, what's wrong with that? But unfortunately, the federal rules actually do provide more flexibility and the ability to for the automakers and the dealers to make plug-in hybrids a more robust segment of the market. But unfortunately for New Jersey and the other CARB states, that's not the case, because CARB severely restricts the use of hybrids and plug-in hybrids towards attaining your goal.
Jim, we got about 20 seconds left. What can people do to get their voices heard on these issues?
Well, talk to your New Jersey elected officials. Let them know that we all share the same goal. But the current mandates are too much, too far, too fast. And we need to put in place the proper infrastructure and the proper foundation before we start pushing a total electric vehicle makeover in the marketplace.
Jim Appleton, President, New Jersey CAR. Thanks so much for joining us on the Labor and Energy Show, my friend. Keep doing what you're doing. And people, like you mentioned, the word is getting out to people, but I'm not sure that our political leaders are listening to what they need to understand. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always great to see you guys.
And you as well. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at Retiree First. CarpentersFirst.com.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. Can you afford a brand new electric car or a charging station for your home? Want to spend your days waiting in line at a public charging station? Well, buckle up. Delaware and New Jersey are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars by 2035. Most drivers can't afford it, don't need it, and don't want it. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
And back here on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Good show today, J-Doc. Our final show leading into election day. So this is the last opportunity to kind of consume some of the content that we talked about on the program today.
No question. Of course, we want to thank Chet Thompson, the AFPM, not only just being on the program, but his insights. Okay. And of course, Jim Appleton of New Jersey Car, both of their industries and their organizations and their members employ so many of our union workers. Okay. And we always say it, Joe, that this, when you talk about these issues, they're not Democratic, they're not Republican, they're not union issues, they're human issues. Okay. And the issues are what are important here. And obviously, we want to thank both Jim and Chet for being on the show. Lots to think about, lots to do, after the election. Okay. We're just beginning the educating of people on common sense and energy. And I hope people are listening out there.
Yeah. And if they missed any of our shows, or if you go to Apple or Spotify, you can search the Labor and Energy Show and you can download a library of content that the Labor and Energy Show has created. Some spectacular guests that we've had every week over the last, we're in our third year now with the Labor and Energy Show. So there's a lot of information and a lot of educational information that people can consume via Apple or Spotify. That's going to do it for this edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Again, as J-Doc mentioned, special thanks to our guests today. And on behalf of all of our listeners and viewers across the Jacob Network, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to tonight's Labor and Energy Special. You can help. Call your congressperson and join the movement to push back on RINs. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/arrow. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.